Now, News Radio 560 KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Oop, turn on your microphone, then they'll hear you. I think I will. Good suggestion. 12:15 at News Radio 560 KPQ. It's the Friday show. The gateway to the weekend is upon us. And today, for the agenda, I ask you to consider this. You may not know what art is. You may not know anything about art. And whose fault is that? If it's art's fault that you don't know Raphael from Charles Cruz, really? From Charles Schultz? Is it the future of artistic expression is going to be tied to your ongoing confusion between Robert Rauschenberg and Robert Gronkowski? Or between Beardsley and Morrissey? I always get them mixed up. With Jasper Johns and Elton John? Which one of you guys needs the piano? And I'm sorry, but that confusion is on you, because art is so difficult to do, to appreciate and to predict. Art, the expression and the application of human creative skill and imagination, typically in the form such as painting, sculpture, producing works to be appreciated by for their beauty and their emotional power. People who can find enough emotional power actually create something from nothing. They take a big load of something that they created from an even larger load of nothing, and what we see is a small, precious unit of something else, something that must be named, perhaps, finished, crafted, displayed, appreciated, even valued. So from nothing to something, to value, to high art, and beyond that, to the unknown. Among its attributes, art is power, power of the artist to create without direction. No permission, no help, no criticism, no interference of any sort from any source at any time. Just the pure power and the act of creating. If you can, good luck. If you can't, I'm sorry, but you're out of the game. You're out of the hot kitchen. You're out of the boardroom or any other place where men in suits crush each idea as it comes to them. So for a break in the action, do some art. Make something that flies in the face of those whose only contribution is disapproval. Art will silence their cries of, that's too many notes, that's too many colors, that's too many images, that's too many ideas. So let the work live on its own. Let the interpretations and justifications only confuse and distract those that you leave behind as you make your way down the hall to do some more art. And now let's talk about art with a man who's representing the Robert Graves Gallery. There you go. And his name is Russ Helpler. Thanks, Russ, for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with the art gallery that we're talking about today so we can put everything in focus. By the way, it's first Friday Art Walk.
Right. Today is the day. There are, different venues around Wenatchee that are open. I think Cafe La Molo's.
Yeah, we'll go through that list in a minute. Ron Evans is going to be here. But let's talk about your gallery now, because I didn't know it existed until you wrote me a note.
That's interesting. We've been around over 40 years, and a lot of people don't even know how to get there, right?
Well, if you can get to Wenatchee Valley College, you found the gallery.
Right. We're on 9th Street in Sexton Hall at Wenatchee Valley College.
There you go. Why is it there?
Actually, it started with a vision from one of the instructors there. In fact, he was a good friend of mine, Robert Graves. And he actually came there to teach back in the 70s, I think it was, maybe 79, somewhere in there, maybe a little before that. Anyway, he wanted to expose the community to different types of art that wouldn't necessarily be shown in this area. And I think at that time we probably only had one gallery. It was called the Little Art Gallery, which was mainly a group of gals that got together and wanted to show work. And it was in probably, an alley behind where Columbia Federal, it's not Columbia Fed anymore. It's called...
Nothing's what it used to be anymore.
Yes, Chase Bank.
Yeah.
He's back in that alley. But and that mainly was just showing work to people here that did sculpture or painting or jewelry.
There's a lot of artists around and about, aren't there?
Yeah, there are quite a few, more than you realize. So anyway, his vision was to create a different kind of gallery that would bring art in and expose the community to new and different and maybe controversial, ideas.
And doing it on the campus seemed to be a pretty good setting.
Right, and there was an area in Sexton Hall that was kind of like an arboretum that was open air, And so he was able to get that. And he talked Alcoa Foundation into putting up a bunch of money in order to put a roof on.
Their last big donation before they left town, right?
Probably. Yeah, one of their last ones. Anyway, that was called the Raise the Roof. And I happen to have an old brochure from it. But Allied Arts also was involved in that, and they were one of the fundraisers. So I think that was a matching grant from Alcoa. So anyway, the roof got raised, and the gallery started in 1976.
What's on the wall today?
What's on the walls?
What's on the walls of the gallery?
Oh,
what's hanging?
Today we have Joe Federson, who was a Colville Indian, and he went to Wenatchee Valley College originally. He was one of Bob Grace's students, and then he went on and got a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the University of Washington. I think then he also got a Master's degree in Fine Arts also. And then, not from UW, I think it was back in Wisconsin or one of those places.
Go Badgers, University
yeah,
of Wisconsin.
Something like that, yeah. Anyway, he got a job at Evergreen State College.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent the last 30-plus some years teaching over there and doing art and involved in the creative process.
Does your gallery help students on campus find their way? Does it help them with teaching or direction at all?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the other missions of the gallery, was to create some excitement and interest in the students and get them involved with the gallery. We have a, what's it called? It's not a research paper, but it's a...
Dissertation?
Yeah, some kind of paper that they can write. It's open to every student, and they can come in and view what's hanging in the show right now and then write a paper on it. Mm-hmm. And then whoever has the best essay, I guess is what it's called, we give them $100 for doing that.
Just for writing well?
Yeah. And we have a board that evaluates it and pick the best one.
Who else is on the wall besides this fine Indian painter?
Well, usually we have an artist that usually is for a month. So Joe Federson is going to be there through, October the 26th. I think that's when he takes his work down. And after that, then Robert Wilson, who's the local guy. Actually, he is a transplant from New York. Anyway, he is here starting on November the 2nd, and he runs through December the 14th.
I saw one of his paintings. It's rather stark, like it looks like four blue lines, but what do you see when you look at it? It could be a piano, too, for that matter.
Well, you know, it's his is non-objective, okay? Abstract expressionism, usually there isn't any preconceived idea when you begin a painting like that. It just kind of evolves in the process.
So if we asked him how he painted, he said, "I love that color blue."
I like the blue. Okay, well, that sounds like Robert. Okay.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm with him. I love that color blue, too.
Blue's a good color.
It's a great color.
Red's even better, though.
I wore both today for you.
Red actually sells, okay?
Okay, I believe it.
And then after that, in January, then we have our members show, and all our members have a chance to submit a couple pieces of art.
Your members actually create art. They submit things for consideration.
Right. Our members do. Not all of them, but most of them do. We also have some corporate members, that type of thing. So they have their show, and it's not juried, though we have choice by the people who come. And,
People's Choice Awards?
People's Choice, right. That's what I was thinking of. Anyway, and so then we award a prize, I forgot how much it is, maybe a couple $100 for whatever is picked by the people. Then after that, we have another guy here in Wenatchee. His name is Mike Delaney, and he does some real cool, whimsical paintings with people, and he mixes people with cars and puts people on buses.
I'll have to see that one.
Yeah, it's really pretty cool stuff. He also went to school... With me, actually, down in Central.
Uh-huh.
University.
Did you study art or art appreciation or art history or?
Well, I was a, I have a bachelor's degree in commercial art.
There you go.
And then my master's degree is in fine art. So painting.
Both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, a little bit of both. And then I also had minors in psychology and sociology.
Oh, so. That's just going to confuse you when it's time to paint.
Yeah, really kind of messes your brain up.
What do I feel? I don't want to talk about how I feel.
No. Well, you know, a lot of paintings are emotional.
Of course they are.
Very emotional. And, you know, art is an outward expression of your inward thoughts and feelings. And it could be either two-dimensional or three-dimensional. But it is, you know, personal. And a lot of times artists don't necessarily care what the viewer thinks. They're just trying to express how they feel.
In fact, in some cases, I think they'd rather hear what you think than ask what they think.
Well, yeah, it's all about getting some sort of an emotional response.
Yeah.
And then after Mike, then we have this Gary, and I hope I say his name right, it's Dismukes, D-I-S-M-U-K-E-S. He's a ceramist, and he's going to have his stuff there starting.
Gary Dismukes, I think he did pretty well. That's how I would have said it.
Yeah, he does some really nice work. He's going to come in February.
And he does ceramics. Now, that's hands-on.
Yeah. That's playing in the clay.
I like that.
Or they might make slab pieces, you know, where you roll the clay out with like a rolling pin, except they have machine that does it. Cut it into shapes you want and stick it all together.
Wow. Cut and paste pottery.
Yeah,
maybe.
You can do cut and paste pottery. Or you can do where you roll it in around tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make coils, and then you make a coil pot.
I like that too.
You could do that, you know. And then a lot of it's done on wheel, you know, where they throw the pot, the clay
on the spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel, and then they have to center it, which is not easy.
Try it sometime. Even if you get it close to being centered, the fact that it's not centered is going to kill you.
No. I often wonder why somebody doesn't come up with
a centering device.
Centering device. But no one has.
No. Well, that's part
of
it.
So there you go. That's something to think about, you know.
So, what's your favorite part about being involved with the gallery?
Well, you know, I kind of like the interaction with the artists, and I also like being on the board and being involved in art, and also with the college.
Now, do you still create on your own? You still have a few projects going?
Yes, I do. I don't just do commercial art anymore because I'm not quite as computer savvy.
Everything's done on the...
Yeah, it kind of went away, the hands-on, except you still have to input something into the...
Something's got to be input.
Somebody, even if it comes out of your mind, you have to put it in there. Yeah, we used to do a lot of commercial art. My company was HG Designs,
mm-hmm.
and that was from like 1974 till now. But I do non-objective abstract expressionist paintings. I'm still stuck in the 50s and 60s. But
and what's your favorite color?
My favorite color is red.
Because it sells.
Yeah, red sells.
Also, it gets your attention.
Well, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with red. Red's
no,
a good color.
Red's fabulous.
You know, it. People like red.
In fact, there's red and there's red, but there's scarlet, and that's a great color.
Yeah, well, there's some really cool colors in red.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing people don't realize. You know, black isn't just black. It's got all the colors mixed in it.
Actually, and, white does too, right?
Yeah, white has all the colors. I mean, black is supposedly, what, the absence of light?
Right.
But I don't know. I like black too.
Add a little white and you got brown.
Yeah, there you go. You can play around with it. It doesn't hurt to do that.
How inspiring is brown? Well, to some people it is.
Hey, and then the next show we have is... Our last show is Kevin Patel, and maybe some of our listeners know who he is. Kevin is the guy who does the Beauty of Bronze here in Wenatchee for the Wenatchee School District. And I think it's with, and I may not have this right, but I think it's mainly with the fifth grade kids at all the grade schools. And he comes here and spends about a week or more and shows them how to do lost wax casting in bronze. And then they all make... little bronze pieces, and then they show them either at Pybus or at the museum.
Now, as a psychologist who also knows his fine art, why do children have such freedom about creating an art and no preconceived notions about it? They just grab the brush and the paint and they go. And they won't stop until you say, that's it. And then they complain because they were having such fun painting and creating. Why is that when other people will look at the canvas and you know, just go into some sort of a conniption pit?
Well, you know, kids, haven't learned to be, you know, constrained.
To be self-critical.
No, they're not critical. They accept. They're kind of like your dog, okay? And I don't mean to say that unkindly, but a dog is what? It's totally liked you, period.
Nothing a dog doesn't like. It likes just about everything.
What do you call that when they, it's un...
They're unambiguous about their feelings.
Yeah, they just like it. And kids are the same way. They haven't learned to be afraid to do anything. Yeah.
Not only that, when you have kids paint, there's not one kid that's saying, I don't know how to paint.
No, they just do it. Remember we used to do a finger painting?
Yes.
And I used to put up large sheets of butcher paper on the walls.
That's it.
For my kids, and then they can scribble all over it.
And they do.
Yeah.
They know what it's for.
You know, color books are okay too, but once the color books start, then it tends to slow you down and make you a little more structured.
Russ, I'm getting short on time. Let's talk about tonight, the Friday Art Walk. What should people come and see at at the gallery?
Well, they're going to see a real cool, spectacular show up there with Joe Feddersen. But you're also getting to see all our new walls, which we're really excited about that. And no more putting nails in the wall, no more monk's cloth on over some sort of different kind of board. We did all the walls, and then we put a whole new hanging system so that we don't have to use nails anymore. They're rods,
the frame.
And they move on a channel, and then they have a little clip that the artwork is hung on that slides up and down.
You open tonight, what, 4 till 9 for the Friday night art walk?
5 o'clock until people go home.
And that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Once again, give the address and how to get there.
We're on 9th Street, Sexton Hall.
Right on the campus of Wenatchee Valley College.
Right.
Correct. Russ, we'll do this again sometime. Thanks, Russ.
Hey, yeah, thank you.
Your Northwest depends on contract renewal. Other providers are available in our network. Attention, if you speak Spanish, 332564, paid endorsement.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:37, the gateway to the weekend is open. I have just kicked it open, and now the weekend stretched out before us. It's going to be a fabulous time, and it starts with Friday Night Art Walk. And Ron Evans is here with his best friend, Moxie Rose. We'll get to introduce her. By the way, just say hello, Moxie. I just wanted to
hello, everybody.
So she's here today. We'll tell you why in a moment. Ron, the stage is yours.
Well, how do?
How do, Ron?
I can't believe it's come up again.
I know.
Good Pete, every time your phone.
Why don't we just do this once a month and it wouldn't happen so often?
I know. That would be easier. It'd be much easier. But this is going to be especially tricky because I'm looking at the first Friday lineup and it is stacked.
Is this it? Is this the one that everyone should go to?
I don't mean for the puns to continue at this point. We haven't even talked about why the puns have already started. But, there's a lot going on this particular month. There always is. But,
of course.
October just is the perfect time to get out there.
It's a pendulous month.
Or sweather, as I tend to say it more often than not. To get out there, swirl a glass of wine, grab some friends. It's a nice time to go hand in hand. The weather's perfect for that right now.
So first you drink wine, then you start grabbing your friends. How does this end, Ron?
You know how it ends. It should end at the radar station, but we'll talk more about that later.
Okay.
I would like to say the radar station more often than not is the caboose.
Like the last refuge of all the scoundrels.
It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Well, scoundrels. That's a good word that I should use more often in the radar station marketing. But yeah, we've got a lot going on. You just talked to the Robert Graves Gallery.
Yes, indeed.
All abreast about.
Thanks to Russ Helfler for doing that.
Impossible now. But Mac Gallery has Abby Freed, in a show called The Sweet Spot. I just peeked in there the other day as I was dropping off some Comet magazines, and that looks really intriguing. She's got some sculptures and wall pieces.
And where's this?
At the Mac Gallery.
Okay.
At Wenatchee Valley College.
Gotcha.
That's the art walk, obviously, you're not likely to start there and then
you
make
could.
It downtown. You could.
Chances
Michael Knight would.
I would.
Your crisp, beautiful blue sweaters that I see you trucking around town wearing.
I can truck.
It really pulls out the blue in your eyes, but right now I don't think they're blue, are they?
Most of the blue in my eyes is brown.
Yeah. That sounds like a Bob Dylan song that I
That's
need to
a
hear.
Country song that has yet to be written for good reason.
We also have, but what I was saying is, you know, that I don't want to forget these little satellite locations because the Mac, of course, puts on some of the best art shows in the Valley.
So, and that's on the campus.
It's a good place to start there and then hit Robert Graves while you're there and then head downtown. Maybe it's the best place to go. We didn't get any submissions in time from Mela, but I believe they are doing something.
There's always something on the wall there.
So I would at least peek in and see what they got going. And, that's always a place I tell people to start, them or, Lomolo. Did I say Mela or Lomolo?
You said Mela.
Okay, good. I haven't slept in 3 days. So start at one of those downtown locations. That's a good place to pick up one of these little flyers. That'll be your roadmap for the rest of the evening.
If you just want to go to Mela and just surprise yourself, tell the barkeep to surprise you. What do you want? Surprise me.
No, that's risky.
I know, even in a coffee
risky
shop.
At radar station, I can tell you that much. I'll just hand you something that's been sitting around a while. I'll surprise you.
This tastes like motor oil. Hey, well, good, you have a good
possibly
palate.
Possibly is.
Oh, I've got way worse laying around a radar station. But Julianne, I still don't know if it's Ayn or Ian or Ann, but whatever. She's got another show going on, and she's featuring Wenatchee Sweets and Barn Cat Creations, which is, I'm jealous that I didn't do something with the name Barn Cat.
Barn Cat.
Yeah, it's fun to say.
It is.
But Wenatchee Valley Chamber of Commerce is doing the, they got Dead Crow Vineyards, and Lomolo is featuring Carrie Herzog, which it says her art is inspired by the great outdoors, which will go nicely with their bold, vivid colors at Lomolo.
Wow.
And a good place to stop if you want food along your trip, too.
Because you get a little peckish out there. Stop, pull over for a moment. And
they have like 100 things on their menu at Lomolo. It's nuts.
It's an extensive menu.
Yeah.
And it's on the wall, so you can peruse it at your leisure.
Yeah, it's in like 3-point font to fit it.
It's impossible to read, but it is on the wall.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised.
Yes, surprise me.
So that's more interesting when you're talking food.
Yeah, I guess.
But Tumbleweed is featuring Devin Ray. She's doing the Darkest Moon show. And I've seen some of the paintings and work that she's done from that show. And it's perfect for this time.
Perfect for Halloween. Sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. Two Rivers is doing Pasha Dixon, Rabbit
Pasha.
Trails.
Yeah, Pasha is her name, I think.
Pasha, yeah. This is another great show. And of course, Two Rivers is always hopping on First Friday, but there's too much to get to, but I'm going to get to it all.
Wander around, take your spots, pick your spots, make a mess of it.
Pan's Grotto has a voodoo show.
No.
I mean, that is perfect for October as well. Yeah, I told Donnie that I was a little envious, that I hadn't thought, in 3 years of doing radar station themed shows,
voodoo was
I hadn't
never
thought of doing voodoo.
I know, I'm a little disappointed in you now.
Yeah, you and my mother. That's not true.
She's and your mother had that voodoo boyfriend, you remember?
My mother had a voodoo boyfriend?
Well, you told me that story.
That I don't know.
Could have been somebody else.
We're going to talk after the show, and so will me and mother.
Oh, was it my mother?
Oh, your mother.
That makes more sense now.
Yeah, well, she's the one that's got the voodoo doll of you under the bed. And that makes more sense.
She was my pen pal, but I didn't know that's what she meant.
Well, she made the eyes blue, so now everything's confused.
Back to you, Ron.
God, when you're wearing a blue sweater, those are the most piercing, beautiful blue eyes. Now I'm just starting to think it bewitches me, and I don't know what I'm looking at.
You have been bewitched and also altered in your genetic makeup.
I'm glad that I worked the word bewitched into the interview.
Well, that leaves only one to go, and I'll let her do it.
Yes. And we will be talking about radar stations in just a moment. I want to mention that the Wenatchee Valley Museum and Cultural Center is doing Beyond the Frame. This is photography by Edward S. Curtis.
So you
want to get in on that. That's a big show.
All the photography that he did with the indigenous tribes all across the country.
Yeah.
He did more work than anybody in that regard.
It's amazing to see all that, especially in the area to just...
I don't even know if all of his work has been printed yet. To tell you the truth, he had so many exposures.
Yeah. Well, speaking of exposure.
And by the way, they're the ones who put together the little handy brochure that we all carry around. Because you're using the one from your magazine.
Yes, that is courtesy of the museum.
Right. They do a good job on that every week.
And
or every
again,
month.
I highly recommend you pick one of those up, or you can pick up an issue of The Comet that's out there if that's closer to you.
It's got play-by-play inside.
We don't have a map in there, but you do have everything that's on the list for the night. And I say it every month. I challenge you to hit them all. I don't think you could.
I don't think it's wise. Pick out something that appeals to you, otherwise you'll miss something somewhere else.
I don't think you would even have time to walk by and flip them off and then head to the next place. And why would you want to?
But good point in terms of expiration of time. How long were you there? Well, long enough to flip them off, and then we just moved on.
And, of course, at Radar Station, we have our second annual Edgar Allan Poe show. And this is where Moxie Rose comes in and the Radar Dames Burlesque. This is the first time we've done
Radar Dames
Burlesque as a free performance. Now, it's not a full show. What this is sort of a teaser, and I'm going to turn it over to Moxie to explain more about that. We also have, and we did tango with the idea of calling them the Edgar Allan Hoes, but we weren't sure if that was, if it was too early in the night. It's starting about 8:30, those performances, but there's
also that's like an after 10 show.
Yeah, exactly.
That is an after
10 show. That's a normal Radar Dame show.
And we normally start a little bit later, as you might imagine. But we also have some poetry readings of Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be a swell night. That's why I'm saying you should probably front-load everything else. Get all the other stuff out of your way and end at Radar Station because we're going to be rocking and rolling about 8:30. Most of the places are either closed or closing up at that point. And then it's all free. Now, it is open to anybody, but we do recommend 18 and
yes.
older.
Did Edgar Allan Poe invent the word Tintin tabulation?
Oh, I couldn't possibly answer that. I wish I had that.
I think it's in the dictionary now because it's been used so often, but I just wonder. I believe that he invented it.
What does it mean?
I'm going to get back to you on that right after
if
these words.
If it means torment, then yes, probably.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
1441. That's 293-1441.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:49 is our time. My special guests are Moxie Rose and Ron Evans. Ron's from the Radar Station. Moxie Rose is from the Radar Bells?
The Radar Dames.
The Radar Dames, sorry. I do apologize.
That's it. Yeah, we were just reading Edgar Allan Poe.
By the way, the world Tintin tabulation was invented by Edgar Allan Poe for use in the poem called The Bells.
And it probably did mean torment.
It meant the sound the bells made.
Torment everybody.
But, let's see, I lost it. Where is it here? Can't find it. That's weird. That is so weird. It was just here in front of me.
Well, we can fix this in post.
Oh, right. Here it is. It's a sort of a runic rhyme to the Tintin tabulation that so musically wells from the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells. See, even Poe could make a bell seem ominous.
I think bells are ominous. Maybe I'm just too sensitive to the tone. It hurts my ears. I got very little use for bells.
Big, loud cathedral bells, not for you?
The Salvation Army ones are a little needy. Like, I get it. They can just sit there if they had anything, like a jack-in-the-box, and those creep me out. Something that's not killing my eardrums. I'd be more willing to donate if I'm being honest.
What about the bass drum playing behind the dancing girls at the show tonight?
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, we don't talk about that guy. We keep him behind. Because
he's the one who keeps the
boom. Bassists should be heard, not seen.
That's true enough.
It offended so many of my buddies.
Too many bass players in your life.
Yes. Never enough.
So tonight at your office, your show place, your wonderful place of business, what are you doing?
Well, we're doing Edgar Allan Poe, and then at 8:30 we're going to have the Radar Dames take to the stage, and Moxie Rose can let you in on a preview of the preview that you're going to get tonight, all for free, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a show tonight that is just kind of a teaser trailer. We have two full shows coming up in October. One of them is at Wally's House of Booze on the Ave on the 20th, but we have actually sold that show out already.
Sold out at
Hollywood? Sold out.
Wally, have mercy.
We have sold out every show that we have performed here in town so far. Now, there's not been that many of them, but still,
it's a burlesque record, right?
Yeah, it is. We're batting 1,000 so far. But we do have the ticket sales going on for our Halloween show that will actually be on Halloween night at Radar Station. So we're kind of giving everybody kind of a taste of what's going on. And, you know, a lot of people have never had the chance to really experience burlesque.
Up close and personal.
Exactly. So they, you know, it kind of gives them an idea of what it really truly is. And then, you know, kind of lets them, you know, just have fun with it, have fun with the dancers. It's kind of a very intimate venue, so you're very up close and personal with the dancers, and they interact a lot with the audience, and it's a lot of fun.
A lot of routines, a lot of shtick.
Yep, and we are an improvisational group, so aside from the group numbers that we do that obviously have to be choreographed, the dancers, to include myself, make up their numbers on the spot. They change from day to day. They change from one rehearsal to the next. And I have no idea what I will see tonight from my own dance, let alone theirs, but I'm blown away every time.
You know it's going to be there.
Exactly. They're going to be fabulous. They always are.
Any catcalls from the audience will be met with a quick retort.
Well, so...
Oh, this is an interesting thing you've been
So catcalls, generally, in a burlesque show, they are actually welcome. You know, obviously, you do want to be respectful. You don't want to, you know, yell out anything...
Foolish.
Incredibly, right, exactly.
Something that you know,
but
you
say. The wolf whistle, the, you know, yeah babies, things like that, those are highly encouraged during burlesque performances because they are actually part of the performance as opposed to doing it to just some woman walking, you know, minding her own business, walking down the street kind of thing. It's
unacceptable.
Right. This is kind of, we get fueled by the audience to, you know, to bring it into our performance. So that kind of, you know, egging on the dancers becomes part of that whole routine, and they'll come over, and you know, the people that are the most animated will come over and make you take one of our gloves off, or have you take a thigh high off. Or
it's show business.
Like that. Exactly. It's very fun, and we have been very fortunate that we have never had anything remotely, you know, uncomfortable happen with our audience. Our audience has always been incredibly supportive and fun, and just wants to be there to be entertained by us as much as we are there to entertain.
Now, how did you meet Ron? Because that's something that you can probably regret, but it's done now.
So the jury's still out.
I know.
Give it time.
I met Ron by going to an art show at the original radar station, which was out of his house in East Wenatchee.
I've heard about those halcyon days.
They were super fun, super fun. And I actually was one of the live nude models for one of your live nude art shows. And that is, that was kind of our actual first meeting, which is a hell of an icebreaker.
It does eliminate a lot of small talk, doesn't it?
Yeah, you really have no choice but to just get comfortable with everybody. And it's, and he and I have kind of just been inseparable ever since, pretty much.
I knew that she had a history with burlesque and pinup and all of that. And I had wanted to work with her as a photographer. I wanted to do some pinup modeling. And I know we were talking about that. At some point, I know the seeds of the burlesque thing were sown.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I was downtown and I had this venue and the stage that I really wanted to put on a show there. But then it could have been a show that I put on, not knowing anything about burlesque, and it just wouldn't have worked. And it would have been like a one-off thing. So I reached out to Moxie Rose to not only be a part of it, but lead it. Like, it's her thing. The Radar Dames, you know, it was born at Radar Station, but the plan is to have this thing grow and go all over the place.
Absolutely.
Let's take the show on the road.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. We love having Radar Station as kind of our home base. So it's been kind of fun to start branching out a little bit. And, you know, we have this show at Wally's. It'll be the first time we've ever performed outside of Radar Station. So that will be kind of a new experience for us, but it's been nice to have that home base. And it really did just start as a, you know, we should do a burlesque show, just one, you know, help me put this on. Let's see, you know, see what we can do. And one show became a few shows that became a troupe that became a family.
I've never seen an art gallery this rowdy.
Oh,
a
my
good rowdy,
goodness.
Though. It was bad rowdy. This was good rowdy.
This was very good rowdy. To include my husband, who had more fans by the end of that, our first show, than anybody because of
the fifth
how rowdy
point.
And excited he was.
So your husband
row.
Goes to your show, and he
yes.
ends up with the fans.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he was, because he was so animated, so loud, so like whistling and cheering. He had no voice for 3 days afterwards. So he had just as many fans at the end of this. So that's what our crowds are like. Our crowds get rowdy and fun and animated. People sing along to the songs if they know them. It's so much fun.
What songs will you be singing? I don't know if I know any
so,
of these.
For our traditional burlesque shows, a lot of the songs are very hit or miss in terms of if people recognize them. Mm-hmm. I think I have one of the more recognizable ones, which is Edith Piaf's Love on Rose.
Oh, yes.
So that's, you know, and that's been used for burlesque
that's
for a long time.
That's a tearjerker.
I do, and I love that song. And it is very fun to do burlesque, too, because it is very slow, very sensual sounding, but still has just this very old-world theatrical kind of sound to it. Our pride show that we did, we were asked by Wenatchee
Wait,
Pride.
Wait, I get it. You're the rose. La Vie en Rose.
Yes.
Life is a rose,
yes.
And you're the life.
Yes. I have a thing for roses, okay. Which was part of why I chose that.
I'm slow, but I...
No, that's okay.
But
that,
I am slow.
Roses are kind of a running theme of mine. I have a few tattooed on me.
A lot
of my songs tie in with them. I sometimes even have my dancers open their shows by bringing out roses into the audience and giving a rose away.
There you go.
So the pride shows are the ones that people tend to recognize the songs. We were asked by Wenatchee Pride to perform for their Out at Night event this year, and we will be bringing back that same pride show for the Wally show. We were asked to bring that back by popular demand.
Kicking out the lights?
Yeah, that's, yeah, so that, and we kind of tried to keep the old world feel of burlesque, the same vintage kind of theatrical feel to it, but set it to songs, pride songs from today. So things like, Lady Gaga, Queen, stuff like that. So one of my songs is Killer Queen by Queen. So people will get into that and start singing it because you just can't help yourself. So that gets really fun with the audience.
I got that stuff in my head. Moe Chandon and all that and all the rest of it. Okay.
You're welcome.
Well, what time does the show go on?
Probably we're going to feel it out. First Fridays, you never know. It comes and goes in waves of people. But I think we're going to aim around 8:30-ish.
Oop, I'm all out of time. Say goodnight, Ron.
Good night, Ron.
See you at the radar station later today. Roxy, so wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much.
I screwed up because I didn't pay attention
to the
clock. You girls and guys did a great job. Thank you.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ.